This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We celebrate you. Hallelujah. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have worshiped this morning. Amen. The people of God say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated majestically. Amen. 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 God bless you. As always, you know, I always look around and I wonder, the men. Almost, you know, like if we look at it as a whole group, the church, or if we decide to look at it row by row, always in every church, with a few exceptions, because I have been to a church where it wasn't the case, but most of the time, the women always outnumber the men. Amen. You know, I was watching something on YouTube, a church. There's a pastor in Nigeria. His name is Pastor Sam Adeyemi. And every year, they're famous for this Christmas, sort of like our Christmas cantata. They have this Christmas program. And in that program, they were saying, you know, it was an argument. The women were saying they own Jesus. And the men were saying they own Jesus. The women, they were struggling back and forth. And I mean, it's so evident because even within the group that they were talking about, the women outnumbered the men. Praise God. So, you know, I just want to say this morning that I just feel like women, we're the one that own Jesus. Amen. Praise God. But I know better because we all own Jesus. Amen. Or we all have a blessing in Christ Jesus. It's not just a woman thing, nor is it just a man thing. But it's just fun to see, you know, that, you know, over and over and over again, wherever you go, you just see that more women. It just seems like more women are serving Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just want to celebrate every woman under the sound of my voice. Amen. If you have a womb, amen. It's, you know, if I say if you have a womb, it's like, well, I haven't been to the doctor. I haven't checked. I don't know if I have a womb. Praise God. Well, I'm sure that you know that you know. Amen. Anybody on this pulpit? Oh, all women. Glory to God. Hey, look at the choir. Look at the choir. Every woman on this stage right now, if you have a womb, just wave at me. You have a womb. You have a womb. Praise God. You have a womb. Now, let me clarify something before I put that question to the congregation. I don't mean that you've taken it out because it was bleeding. Praise God. Were you born with a womb? Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you had a hysterectomy. Praise God. You can have a hysterectomy, but you still have evidence in there. If they go in there and open it up again, there's going to be evidence that, no, something is missing here. They took it out for a reason. Hallelujah. The evidence will still be there that you have a womb. Glory to God. So if you have a womb this morning, you were born, hallelujah, with a womb. Say glory. Glory. We're celebrating. Amen. Hallelujah. She hasn't even proven the womb yet. She's more than, praise God. I want to celebrate everyone with a womb this morning, amen. This is our special day, amen. Because the reason why today is special is because we have a womb, hallelujah. So I'm celebrating you and I'm saying happy Mother's Day to everybody that have a womb. Is that proper English? That has, praise God. That's how I have children. Praise God that can tell me the right things. So I'm saying Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Amen. If you have a womb, I want you to put your hand on your chest and say these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for making me a woman. Because there is a reason why I was made a woman. I pray in the name of Jesus that the fullness of the blessing of being a woman, I will manifest it in my life before Jesus comes back. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for yourself. Amen. Women, you know, I'm not feeling you this morning. I feel like we're kind of quiet. Are we quiet this morning? Oh, we look kind of quiet. Praise God. You know, I want to bring the word this morning very quickly. I have 13 more minutes, but I don't have much to say. But I want to charge us in our spirit this morning. A lot of the times, choir, thank you, thank you, thank you, choir. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together as they go back to their seats. Amen. Amen. You know, many times for us women, every time I go out to minister, there's this really wonderful sermon that I like to teach. And it talks about how the law of Moses kind of just almost pushes women aside. Amen. It talks about how the woman that when you are in your monthly flow, you are considered unclean. The law of Moses says that. It says that if you are in your monthly flow, that you are unclean for 7 days. And then after those 7 days, you have to then go through purification for another 7 days before you are even considered clean again, before you can go to the synagogue. And during that 7 days of you having your monthly flow, whatever you touch becomes unclean. Whoever you touch becomes unclean. If you sit on a chair, that chair is unclean. If you touch a table, that table is unclean. So whenever you are in your monthly flow, you are considered unclean. And I'm like, isn't that kind of harsh? And it says that if anyone touches you as a woman, during that time, that person will be unclean. So that is, if your husband touches you, I'm not talking about that kind of touching. I'm talking just touching. Hello, sweetheart. How are you? He is unclean. Now, he's not just unclean, but the Bible says that after he washes himself, he remains unclean till evening. And I'm looking at myself and I'm like, what did I do to deserve this kind of treatment? If anything, I would think that I would get some honor. I would be respected because I bleed. Why? Because without me bleeding, there cannot be life. Do I have women in the house? If we don't bleed as women, there cannot be life. When a woman becomes a woman, when our children, our young girls, when they become women, and we know that they are women, is they begin to shed blood. And then we begin to have the talk with them that, sweetheart, now you're going to have to be careful. Praise God. When my mom was telling me, she gave me the message before I started to go through my monthly cycle because I was leaving Nigeria. I was 10, so she had to give me the message early. And the way she gave it to me scared me because she said, sweetheart, when you start to shed blood, if a man touches you like this, you are pregnant. I said, Jesus. Just a touch. Just a touch. She said, if they touch you like this, touch you, you are pregnant. So the first time that I shed blood, I started going around school like, glory to God. My mama told me, I got to be careful. She's all the way in Nigeria. It will be very disappointing for her if she find out that I didn't listen to her voice. And when she touched somebody, I was scared. So back to what I was saying. It should be that because I bleed, I should have some respect, because a woman that does not bleed or have irregular flow of blood or maybe no period, they don't bleed at all, it's difficult for them to bring forth. But nevertheless, the law says that when she's bleeding, she's considered unclean. And so I started to look, and I realized, you know, it seems as though the Bible does not favor women. People can easily say that. Anyone can easily look and say, well, the Bible doesn't favor women. Well, why is it that the 12 disciples, there was no women amongst the 12? But the 12 needed a woman to go and tarry in the place where they buried Jesus. That when the resurrection occurred, it was a woman who went to tell the 12 that Jesus has risen. My God, there is a place. I'm here to tell you that we women are not outside of the plan of God for us. Praise the name of Jesus. How do I know that? The Bible, as I was looking at the Bible, I was like, Lord, what should I share with the women today? He said, I want you to let them know that they matter to me. They are within the scheme of things. When we say that we were created in the image of God, we're not just talking about the male aspect of the creation. We're not just talking about the fact that God is a male representative, but he was letting me understand that he is called El Shaddai. Ah, Jesus. When I started to look at the word El Shaddai, I realized that it was a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word comes from a root word that means breast. Somebody say amen. The literal translation would be many breasts or the double-breasted one. El, it means God or the powerful one. Shaddai is actually a plural. Shad would be the singular to mean breast. But Shaddai means that he is double-breasted. So if I am looking at God, I should see myself as a woman too. I shouldn't just see my husband alone. I shouldn't just see man. But the Bible says, I am a provider. I am what you can consider the double-breasted one of Israel. And I was like, Lord, what does that mean? He said, my daughter, you're right. That's a good question. And I put you in the right profession to understand this question. And so I started to look that when I'm in the hospital and you see a mother who is breastfeeding her baby. When a mother is breastfeeding her baby, she has this instinct that comes upon her that when the baby cries, it does something to her. When her baby wakes up, she begins to get wet. When there is something that made me understand the relationship of myself and God, or the relationship of my husband and God, him being the breasty one of Israel, before, as I begin to wake up, my God is ready to do the blessing. Because when a woman is about to feed her baby, her body naturally begins to prepare. And I realize that this baby is solemnly dependent on this mother for life, for sustaining. And I realize that everything that is in the breast is perfect, and there is no chemical, because now they make us in the hospital, we do not call it formula anymore. We have to call it artificial milk. Artificial baby milk, because science have now discovered that the best thing that you can ever give to a baby is breast milk. They realize that no matter the chemical makeup that they try to do with other types of artificial milk, it can never come close to what God has put in the breast of a woman. And so when she is breastfeeding, that baby is getting nourishment, is getting substance, is getting the things that you cannot find in natural resources outside of her body. And I look at these women at the hospital, and some of them, they are concerned. They'll say, I don't feel that I'm giving my baby enough. We hear that all the time as women services nurses. We serve women, you know, when they're pregnant, when they're delivered, and all of that. We serve women. That's the area that I'm in. And over and over and over again, I keep hearing the same thing, that some women are concerned. I just don't feel as though I'm giving enough. There is something, and I was like, Lord, thank you for giving me this word, because it makes me understand that when you practice it every day, you can see it better. And I realized that when a woman is first delivered, her milk has not come in yet, but there is something in her breast called colostrum. That thing is very interesting, because it's not quantity, but it's more of quality. Now, all of the immunity that the woman has spent, whether she had her baby at 25 or 30 or 40, whatever immunity she has gathered in those 30 years, she is passing it on within the first few hours of life to this baby. It's called colostrum. It's thick and it is yellow. And when she's passing it on to this woman, to this child, the child begins to develop immunity that he did not have. In a matter of maybe 1 week, this baby has gotten enough nutrients and enough immunity to last through colds and things like that. So now in medical science, they're now reverting back to telling us that leave the artificial milk alone and get what is in the breast, because they can't beat it. And so it made me look at God, that God is saying to me that I am the breasty one of Israel. And that means that whatever immunity that is in God, whatever immunity that is in Christ, if the devil cannot mess with Jesus, because he's the breasty one of Israel and he has breastfed me, that means I can go to the devil and say, devil, I have the immunity of my father. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if somebody's in church this morning. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He says, I'm not only a breasted person, but I'm double-breasted. I am double-breasted. That means whatever you could not finish on one side, come and get double. Oh, I don't see how beautiful it is for me as a woman to begin to see that I also, the resemblance when the Bible says that he created me, he created us in his image, it also includes me as a woman. We shouldn't think of ourselves as nothing. We shouldn't think of ourselves as though we just came through just to have children. We are a symbol of what God is doing in each and every life. When a woman is born and she becomes a woman, she becomes a mother herself, it's like God keeps reminding us through the lifespan of a woman that I am your provider. I am your source. I am the one that you need in order to survive. Oh, if you're a woman in the house, say amen. Amen. God cares about women. If it was not so, places like the book of Isaiah 51 verse 1, Isaiah 51 verse 1, it would not be in the Bible that says, sing, O barren. It says, sing, O barren, thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Are they going to pull it up? Praise God that I came prepared. It says, cry aloud, thou didst not prevail with child, for more the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge. He's talking to the barren. If you have not had children this morning, this word is for you. If you know someone that has not had children this morning, this word is for you. Jesus is on your side. Jesus wants you to provide, to produce. And he says to you in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 3, he says, for thou shalt break forth out on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Stand on your feet. On this Mother's Day, every single mother under the sound of my voice, I want you to find another mother, and we're going to join our hands together. What the Lord is laying on my heart is that we as mothers, let's pray for those that are still believing God, and we're going to stand in the gap and believe God that the God, the breasty one of Israel, the one that provides, will provide for everyone in our midst that is believing God for the fruit of the womb. Now, the first prayer point is, Father, in the name of Jesus, as you are the breasty one of Israel, provide for my sisters that are believing you for the fruit of the womb. In the name of Jesus, come on and let's pray. Lift up your voice. Shikarabo sata yarabo shata. Shikerebo sata. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now I want you to place your hand on your belly. Each and every woman under the sound of my voice. Place the men, you can follow along with this too, because this is a general prayer. I want you to pray as a woman. Say, Lord Jesus, I will not birth only children, but I will birth everything that you have placed on the inside of me. I, as a woman, I, as a man, I will not just birth children alone. That's a given. You have promised me that I will birth children. But I shall not birth children alone. But everything that you have placed on the inside of me, I will birth it out. In the name of Jesus, I will birth it out. In the name of Jesus, come on and lift up your voice.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.
And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name.